Madhava Punja Vihari.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki Eskan Fonga Shara Srila Prabhupada ki Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai Premsika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramoni Tananda Shri Deta Garada Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivedanta. All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 2 to 7. So we'll do the first verse and then I'll do the rest. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu. Rajeta Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu. Yajita Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu. Yajita Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Brahmavarchasa Kamastu. Yajita Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Adiji. Brahmavarchasa Kamastu. Yajita Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatin. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu. Yajita Brahmana Patim. Indram Indriya Kamastu. Praja Kama Prajapatim. Okay, Devim Ayantu Sri Kamas Tejas Kamo Vibhavashum Vashu Kamo Vashin Rudran Virya Kamo Ta Viryavan Anadyas Kamas Twadityam Swarga Kamo Dite Sutan Vishwandevan Vajya Kama Sadhyan Samastako Visham Ayus kamo svinau devau, pushti kamo ilam yajet, pratishta kama purusho, rodashi lokamataro, rupa bikamo gandharvan, shri kamo pashara urvasin, adipatya kama sarvesham, yajita parameshtitam, Yajnam yajed yasas kama, kochas kama prachetasam, idyas kama tu virisham, dampatyarta umam shatim. Okay, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmjyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king, Indra. One who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durgadevi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire. A one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grain should worship a deity. One who desires to attain the heavenly planet should worship the sons of a deity. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadeva. One who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Satya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as the Ashwini Kumaras. And a person desiring a strong built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his pose should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvasi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be greatly learned, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good martial relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. That's a long one. Purport. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul living within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod, as mentioned above. Ravana was made a very powerful man by worshipping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to please Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Lord Shiva that all the demigods were afraid of him, until he at last challenged the personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20. It is said there that those who are bereft of all good sense are those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods or by advancing the material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age, and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid. And no one wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace of any demigod nor by so-called advancement of material science. In the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. Sukadeva Goswami said that out of the 8,400,000 species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of the material problems are rarer still. And still more rare persons are those who are conscious of the value of Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the messages of the Lord and his pure devotees. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by the Goswami as the Manishi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person, Sukadeva Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are sometimes like the intoxication of the degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead a permanent life by returning home back to God. Om Gyan Termanasya Gananjana Shalakaya Sakshim Tanyana Tatmashana. Sri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Svapitanyana Bhutavasyam Pakaram Ayam Bhagavad Sakaram. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Deva Gadada Sri Vasudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. What an interesting verses and purport. So there are 33 primary demigods, or main demigods. And they are mentioned here, not the names, but the groups of demigods. You have 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras, 8 Vasus, and 2 Ashvinis, so that's 33. 12 and 8, 20, and 11, 31, and 2, 33. Thank you. Yeah, so 33. So I have the names. Maybe I'll mention them later on. But these demigods, they give benefit to mankind, different benefits, and especially the beginning of creation. And this sort of worship was going on to some extent, because really Sukadev Goswami mentioned this because there are some type of people who cannot fully surrender to the Lord. And so he explained what you can achieve from these personalities. This also answers a very fundamental scientific question. The scientists keep asking, if humans were more advanced in the past, there is no trace of it. And what it means, there's no great technology. Like now you have like airplanes and cars and trains and buses and everything. So they're saying that now there's so much advancement, whereas in the past there was no advancement. So that even pushed them with the theory, this evolutionary theory, where they claim that men were nomadic in the past. That kind of substantiate. But here's the answer. Because mankind was getting quick benefits from the demigods, there was no need for technological advancement. There was no need for them to, you know, because they would, if you want to go to the heavenly planets, quick time you worship. Okay, let me see how it goes here. So it states, if one wants to go to the Brahmjyoti, you could worship Brahma or Brihaspati. If you want powerful sex, you go to India. Now they sell all kinds of drugs and herbs and this and that. You know, in the past you worship India. If you want good progeny, you worship the progenitors and the Prajapatis. We'll go back on that just now. If you want good fortune, Durga Devi. If you want to become very powerful, you worship Agni. If you want to have a lot of money, you worship the Vasus. But I was thinking maybe more Lakshmi or Kubera, but it said the Vasus here. If you want to become a great hero, you worship Rudra. That is one expansion of Lord Shiva. If you want great stocks of grain, you worship Aditi. Aditi was the mother of the demigods. If you want to go to the heavenly planets, you worship the son of Aditi. If you want a worldly kingdom, you worship the Vishvadeva. If you want to be popular among the masses, you worship the Sadhya demigod. If you want a long lifespan, the Ashwini Kumaras. Strongly built body, the earth. Stability in your position, the earth. If you want to be beautiful, the residents of Gandharva planet. A good wife, the Apsaras, or the Urvasi Society girls. I don't know how they would give you a good wife, though. That's a good one here. domination over others, Brahma, tangible fame, the personality of Godhood. That's one. You want a great bank balance, Varun. I was thinking a great bank balance again was Lakshmi or Kuvir. If you want to become greatly learned, Lord Shiva, I was thinking Saraswati. And if you want good marital relation,
marital,
thank you, yeah, is Uma. Uma is the wife of Lord Shiva. So when you can achieve all these assets by worshipping the demigods, then there was no need for technology or no need for all these advancements. So that answered the scientific question, dear. That's mind-boggling. So let us touch upon a few. So some people want to go to the impersonal Brahmjyoti for whatever reason. There are so 400,000 species of human beings. Everyone has a different desire. You know, not all want to surrender to Lord Krishna. No one reached that readiness. One want to go into the Brahmjyoti. But we know that going to the Brahmjyoti means that you become very bored after a while, and then you lose interest. And then you come back to earth again. So Lord Krishna says, Klesho Dikatara Station, that worshiping my impersonal feature is very troublesome and very difficult. What's the point? The result is not good. Then, powerful sex life, Indra. We know Indra already. One time he was coerced with 1,000 reproductive organs on his body. You know about that. Then later maybe that course was stimulating. But you know. But the demigods, their rules are different from those of earth. They don't abide by the rules of mankind. The demigods are different. And especially Indra. Indra can go with any woman actually he wants. And we know that so many earthly women he went with. And he was coerced so many times also. But the rules of the demigods are different. Why it's different is because when one goes to the heavenly planet, you're only enjoying your karma. You're not bound by karma, by the laws of karma. You're only experiencing your karma. Even the Urvasi and the women who are society girls, they're not bound by the laws of mankind. Like for example, Urvasi was very, very old, but she looked very, very young. And Arjuna was like her grandson. And she was approaching Arjuna for copulation. You know about that. And then she coerced him to become a eunuch. You know? So the rules in the heavenly planets are different. Then, if you want great progeny, you worship the progenitors. But this also brings us to an interesting question, like for the scientists. They were saying that if Adam and Eve were the progenitors of mankind, why are there so many different races and varieties from just Adam and Eve? That was not possible. You know, he was saying that was not possible. But the progenitors are much more. The progenitors were the 10 born sons of Brahma, plus his expansion, Shatarupa and Swayambhuva Manu. And then his sons like Uttanapad, Parivrata, Akuti, what's the other one? Akuti and Prashuti. Right. You see? All these, then plus Kashyapa and the Daksha, the daughters of all these became progenitors of mankind. So it was not like Adam and Eve, you know. And that is why, you know, that also create great doubt within the scientific realm. Because if Adam and Eve were the only progenitors, we know from the daughters of Kashyapa, all the animals and plants came about. You see? So for that. Then Durga Devi for good fortune, and we know that she is the caretaker of this material world, you know. Durga Devi. If one wants to be very powerful, Agni, if one wants money, the Vasus. There are 8 Vasus. Rudras, 11 Rudras. Maybe just for curiosity or for knowledge sake, I'll probably tell you the names of the Vasus. But I don't have them here. I have the Rudras. Aja, Ekapada. I hear Budnya. Twashta, Rudra, Hara, Shambhu, Triambaka, Aparajita, Ishana, Tribhuvana, the Rudras. And what Rudra means? Roaring storm, fiery features. Those were the Rudra expansions. Then, it says, long life, the Ashwini Kumaras. If you remember the story of Chaivana Muni. Chaivana Muni had married Sukanya. And Sukanya was just a young girl. She was just about 15 years. And Chaivana was a few hundred years old. Imagine that. And so Chaivana plays the Ashwini Kumaras. And you know what happened? They made him ever youthful. He became young as the Ashwini Kumara, you see. And so when Sukanya went to her father with Chaivana, the father was chastising her. Oh, you left that old man for this young man. How can you do that? You know? But it states here, you want a long lifespan, you worship the Ashwini Kumaras. And they were the physicians of the devas. Let me touch another. You want to be beautiful, the Gandharvas. So the Gandharvas are not only beautiful, but they sing very beautiful too. Maybe I should worship them for a little voice. And then, if you want a good wife, the Apsaras and Urvasi society girls. But their rules are different. I don't know how you could get a good wife with them really. Because their rules is that you don't stay with one man. That's in the heavenly planets. They could go with different demigods. What do you say? Oh, not always. Oh, okay. Gadagaj knows something there. He says not always. That's good. Sometimes, right, Gaj? And then if you want tangible fame, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want a good bank balance, you worship Varuna. You want to be greatly learned, Lord Shiva. And then, I got to learn this word good. Say the word again, Marta. Yeah, Marta. Uma Devi. And you know the story with Uma Devi. Uma was so chaste to Lord Shiva that when she heard her being criticized, she performed she emulated herself, born herself. But also I was wondering if that was the reason the Sati Rite came about later on, because we know the Sati Rite was prevalent later on. You see? So we'll go through a few verses of what Lord Krishna was saying about worshipping the demigods in the Bhagavad Gita, and then how he concluded. Glasses. Maybe I have to put on this glass, my glasses. Even some problems. Saha Prajna Prajasrishva Purovacha Prajapati. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifice for Vishnu, and blessed them. Be thou be happy with this jagya. This would bestow you everything. That was what Lord Krishna says in 3:10 at the beginning. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantu vaha. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, would also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, for prosperity would reign for all. Ishtan bogan hi vo deva dashyanti jagya bhavita. The demigods, being pleased with jagya, will supply all necessities to you. But now is the heavy part. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha. As soon as one desires to worship some demigods, I make his faith steady. But then Lord Krishna starts to swing around here later on in Bhagavad Gita, and he gives us the sauce, so to speak. Kamaishtir taistir ridha jnana prapadyante anya devata. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender to the demigods. So what he really was saying, that maybe for like a quick benefit you could surrender to demigod and get that, but not to surrender to them wholeheartedly. See, so he's saying here, those whose intelligence have been stolen by illusion surrenders to the demigods. Labhate cha tatakamam mayaiva vihitan hitan. The benefits given by the demigods are actually bestowed by me alone. Antavattu falamtesham tadbhavati alpamedasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the demigods, and my devotees come to me. So Lord Krishna started to get serious here. See, the demigods, if you read about Pravriti Marg, and what's the other one? Nivriti Marg. My memory is getting, it's going on there, Keshav. Pravriti Marg and Nivriti Marg. It explains about how the demigods came into being and so forth. But they're not meant to be worshipped permanently. Maybe like a quick result. Just like when Arjuna was going to fight in the Mahabharata war, what happened? Lord Krishna sent him to Lord Shiva. And he prayed to Lord Shiva for a short time. It's not like he prayed for him all his life. He prayed for him for a short time, and he got a Pashupata Ashra, very powerful Ashra. And then he also did the same with Lord Indra, where he got the Indrayena weapon. Vajra. Yeah. Strong weapon. Yeah. And also to go to the heavenly planet in the same body, he had to please the demigods also. And Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva, taught Yudhishthira a special mantra. My memory again, I forgot the mantra. And that mantra enabled him to go to the planets of the demigod with his same body. And the charioteer of Indra was telling Arjuna that he's actually stronger than Indra, because when he sat on that chariot, his body did not shake. And maybe when Indra goes on the chariot, he shakes a little. Arjuna, And it stated that because Arjuna was strong brahmachari, you know, when you're strong brahmachari, we had discussed that point one time. And we had also discussed the point that if you look to a lot of the men died before the women, see, because they're not so strong brahmachari. Yeah, they lose their vital substance. Straight from there. Anyhow, we're not. But that was why Arjuna was even stronger than Indra, powerful brahmachari. So worshipping the deities are meant, even Lord Krishna advised Arjuna to do that, but it's temporary. Right? It's not meant to be a permanent thing. Amihi tvam surya sangha vashanti. And this is where Arjuna was talking what happened to the demigods. All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering you. Very much afraid, some are offering prayers unto you. Anyone knows where this was said? All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering you. So all these demigods we are mentioning, are surrendering to Lord Krishna. This was when he was showing the Virata form, when Arjuna was seeing it. You see? Very much afraid, some are offering prayers. And then he mentioned the names. These very names are mentioned in the earlier verse. Rudra Ditya Vasavo Yecha Sadhya. All the manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Vishvadevas, the Ashwins, the Maruts, the Pitris, the Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. So all these demigods that are mentioned here are... So this also shows that they are even afraid of Lord Krishna. They are surrendering to Lord Krishna 100%. You see? So here what says. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi. Tivrena bhakti yogena tajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, without any material desire or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. Etavan eva yajatam. All the different demigod worshippers can attain attraction for Krishna by the association of a pure devotee. So ultimately, Lord Krishna says that all these benefits that are bestowed by the demigods can be bestowed by me. And so really, in the long-term way, there is no need to worship the demigods, but worship Lord Krishna. And there was one point more I want to touch on, and that was about the scientists. Namam duskriti no muda prapadyante naradama maya parita jana asurim bhavam ashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. And within this verse, one of those groups of personalities were Srila Prabhupada commented were the scientists. Atheistic nature, and they do not surrender. They were called the Naradamas. Duskuti Naradamas. See? Maya Parita Jana. The illusion of being overtaken by Maya, by the illusory energy. See? And so really, even this verse in some ways has answered so many of the scientific questions, especially in terms of why there were not great technology in the past, and about the progenitors and so forth. Within the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada also explains about Ravana. Ravana pleased the demigods and he got some really powerful boons. You know about that. You had Ravana, you had Hiranyakashipu, you had Hiranyakashipu. Who else? Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana. Who more? Then you had this guy that pleases Lord Shiva, Banasura. Remember him also? He got 1,000 arms. All of these got quick benefits. And actually, mostly the demons would go to the demigods for all these benefits because they like those fast benefits. And then they turn around and challenge the Lord. Ravana did that. Hiranyaksha did that. Hiranyakashipu did that. Banasura did that. You see, they approach the demigods, try to trick the demigods and get benefits. And then they turn around to try to challenge it. Even now the atheistic scientists are doing that. All the theories of origin are atheistic in nature. Big Bang, evolution, abiogenesis. Big Bang, evolution, abiogenesis. And what's the other one? Primordial soup. All these theories. All these theories are meant for a godless civilization. See? So that's why we have to defeat them so that people can come back to God consciousness. So ultimately, we have to totally surrender to the Supreme Lord. So Subhadip Goswami here was just giving a reference, like for some of the human beings, if they do want these things, then it's available there. But really, later in the verse, he got serious there. Lord Krishna got serious in the Bhagavad Gita also, you know, where he says that, you know, the benefits of the demigods are temporary and flickering. You see? And so best is to surrender to him totally. Sarvadharman Parityaja. So I'll stop here. I don't know if there's any comment or question or correction or anything. And I hope I didn't really bore you all so much too. All right. Well, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. Oh, you have a question there. Okay, Prabhu. Let me get it.
Theories, evolution, abiogenesis, and Big Bang are atheistic.
Are atheistic? They're all atheistic.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean they're atheistic?
Well, the Big Bang means that the Big Bang means, you know, it's like in one sense it's like a speculation. Even though the scientists are claiming that they've seen the background radiation, the universal background radiation, which is a sign of Big Bang, what it means really, that they're trying to say that all matter was in a concise form, and then there was a sudden explosion, severe heat and explosion, and there was a big explosion, and then gradually, you know, matter scattered anyway, and then they coalesce and form planets. You feel like that. So that's an atheistic theory. I mean, it has some similarity to how the seeds are coming out the pores of Lord Vishnu and then they're expanding to planets. But that by itself is somewhat atheistic. The theory of evolution also means, evolution means that each species evolving. You start from one cellular being, one cellular being divided into two cellular, three cellular, and then they gradually form organisms and stuff like that. And then that's how all the species came about. Gradually, that's their evolutionary concept. Abiogenesis means where from a material state life came about. In other words, an ideal situation, right, where all the chemicals combine nicely together, appropriate time with ideal temperature and everything, unicellular life came about, you know? And then evolution took place. That's the thing. And then, they also have primordial soup, which means also the same thing where there was a primordial ancient soup in the ocean. And from that ancient soup, life sprouted at an ideal moment. Yeah, Prabhu, let me hear what he said something. What do you have to say? Anybody, what do you have to say? Yes, Prabhu? Sorry to hold you back, right?
Mm-hmm. The basis of the science understanding is the Virat Rupa, so there's some truth behind it. It's just in a different, it's more of a covered form. They're looking superficial. They're not looking into the intrigue of the original source, nor would they understand it because they haven't discovered that aspect because of their consciousness. So there's a grain of truth to it, but it's understanding that it's through consciousness, it's evolution. So if you want a body, then your consciousness will deliver that, of course, through the Supreme Person of Godhead.
The scientists can't even explain what is consciousness. You know, they're swearing that consciousness comes from the brain. They can't explain the source of consciousness. They're saying it comes, from matter, from the brains. So much atheistic scientists, but they cannot explain. They would not accept the soul because they said there's no proof of it. You cannot prove it, so it doesn't exist. What they cannot prove doesn't exist to them. Okay. Yes? Pranagopila, you want to say something? Okay. I thought you ought to bring a little challenge here. I'll take it up. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.